Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman and alongside Jared Kimber, bringing you immediate reaction following every day's play of the three test series between England and West Indies. And despite widespread reports of bad weather curtailing play, much like we saw in the second test, well, it was a near on 4 days play possible today. So lots to chat about on the show. You're listening to Following On. So if you're listening to the show, and thanks for doing so, you will now know that England were bowled out for 369. They lost 4 quick wickets this morning against a new ball, as predicted on the day one Following On podcast. What wasn't predicted was that Stuart Broad came in and hit his first half century since 2017. 369... well, it looked about 75 runs above par on a track that was offering some assistance throughout yesterday and indeed today. West Indies, when they batted, kind of understood why Jason Holder didn't want them to bat on day one, I suppose. Nobody really getting a score. Campbell top scoring with 32, but he was dropped when he was on 10. And ending the day limping towards the follow-on target. That target is 170, 137 for 6. Let's get going with the story of the day.
Story of the day.
So, Jared, my story of the day is never believe the weather forecast. I've been quite consistent about that for quite a number of years. Once again, proved absolutely correct.
My story of the day is that we've probably only got one more John Campbell, 20 or 30 odd, left to see in Test cricket, sadly. So I feel like I've seen so many. I don't know what your favourite 20 or 30-year-old from John Campbell is so far, but, you know, there's been some sprightly ones. There's been a couple of dour ones as well. You know, he's got a variety in his 20 and 30-year-old odds that most people don't. And sadly today I think we might have seen, well, maybe the last one, because he might fail completely in the second innings. But he's a consistent man, isn't he?
My first innings of John Campbell, I think I'm right in saying this, came in the warm-up game at, oh, what's the name of that place where the, sadly now, all three W's are buried. It's Cave Hill. It's a university ground.
Yeah, the University of the Caribbean, where they play the academy ground, where all the, you know, young West Indian players come through. That's the ground you're talking about, 3W Oval.
That's right, 3WA Oval. It was before the first test, also in Barbados. And John Campbell played, I think he was out for a duck or he scored 4. I'm not sure. Either way, midway through the warm-up, it was announced that he'd been called up to the squad. And then they didn't dare play him again in that warm-up. So I was really interested when he played. And yeah, I think you might be right. Tell you another batsman that we shouldn't get too used to seeing is Shane Dowrich again. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the day. I'm not sure he is story of the day just yet. Let's talk about who the real story of the day is. And I suppose, you know, if I've got a message to the selectors, it's quite clear. Next year, when England get to Australia, you drop Stuart Broad from the first test match, England lose, and then he'll come back into the side and he'll be so angry, he'll win 2 or 3 test matches for England, and England will win the Ashes, and then he'll be rubbish for the fifth test once he feels like he's done what he needed to do.
This is why you don't work in cricket. You drop him for the test before the Ashes, John, so that you don't lose the first test against Australia, if that's what you're trying to do. Look, he's a quality bowler. No one's surprised. His batting was ridiculous. West Indies lost the plot a little bit there. We talked about yesterday, didn't we? Jason Holder's not a brilliant strategic captain. He doesn't always understand these sorts of things. He's got incredible patience and a great leader of men. And, you know, we seem to, quite often with captaincy, we kind of look at a player as a leader from by example, or we look at them as a tactician. We don't look at the fact that there's actually just many different factors that come in. And I think we saw, you know, some shortcomings of him as he just seemed confused with Broad and Bess out there, what to do at times there. So I think, you know, we saw that. And then he came out and bowled well. To be honest, Mark Wood would have bowled well today. Ollie Rayner would have bowled well today. Who else is in the team? Who's the new guy? Robinson would have bowled well. Jamie Porter would have bowled well. I think there was a lot. England have a lot of good seam bowlers that would have liked those conditions against that batting lineup today, to be fair. But yeah, I think that, you know, the story is that they keep dropping him. I think Harbhajan Singh is the only other player that I can think of with over 400 test wickets who's not an automatic selection for his team. And part of that is that Harbhajan Singh and Shubh Broad have played a million tests. They're not all-time greats, because they wouldn't be dropped if they were all-time greats. They're players who are sort of really, really good and perhaps greats for their country, but there are weaknesses within their games. There are, you know, problems within their games doesn't mean that they accidentally took 400 test wickets either. So, you know, he's such an interesting player, Stuart Broad, at this point. The other side of that is West Indies. I think their batting has been flattered at times in this series. I think that they are, you know, I disagree with why Jason Holder made the decision he did to bowl first. But as you said at the top, you can understand why. He knows how they're batting. I mean, Shane Dowrich was a potential to bat at six in this series. He really was. They thought about it. I know they did. He's now batting at eight, and he looks a couple of spots too high. Blackwood gets all this credit for the streaky innings he played early on. We know that Blackwood's never going to average more than 40 in first-class cricket. In Test cricket. We know that Rostan Chase is going to struggle to average over 40 in Test cricket. And these are your number five and six. They're batting in the cushy spots. So you look up in the order and you've got someone like Brooks, who looks a player but isn't going to make any runs at the moment, but hopefully develops a little bit. You look at Campbell, who looks a player but has never made any runs in his first-class career, realistically. He just doesn't make hundreds, if I remember his record correctly. Shai Hope, who hasn't made any runs since the last time he was in England. Craig Brathwaite, who has incredible patience, and you just hope that one day it all comes together for him. But again, he's never consistently made a large volume of test match runs. And these are the frontline guys, you know, the backup guys. And, you know, there are very few players out there. I mean, we don't know what Silver is going to do. We don't know what Puran is going to do. I mean, Nicholas Puran is maybe the best natural batting talent, I think, of maybe, what is it, 25 and under out there in international cricket at the moment. There might be some better ones in, you know, domestic cricket coming through. But, you know, as far as what we have seen, he's played three first-class games through a cavalcade of West Indian stuff-ups, realistically. Him and Hetmyer, I don't know if we'll ever see the most out of either of them in test match cricket. Not to mention that probably their best first-class test batsman is Darren Bravo, and he's not here. Unfortunately, these sorts of things just keep happening to the West Indies. And today they went up against an angry Stuart Broad. But realistically, Wokes could have taken a bunch of wickets today. Jofra could have taken a bunch of wickets today. Anderson could have taken a bunch of wickets today. They're unfortunately not quite good enough, and they were found out a little bit today. Hopefully, they're not duds. They're just not quite top-level test match batting lineup. And we've talked about this a lot. We talked about this with Joe Denley earlier in the series. If you are not a good test match batsman right at the moment, you are getting found out, because every team has a multitude of bowling options to destroy you. What was the question?
Moment of the day.
Well, my moment of the day came late in the day, and we have seen bowlers get the yips. I don't think I've ever seen a batsman get the yips, but Shane Dowrich, we spoke about this yesterday, about that defining moment at the end of the first test when he was given a torrid time as West Indies, you know, got to their victory target. It was kind of overshadowed, but of course, players do not forget this stuff. I mean, it was a little bit embarrassing because in this test match so far, we've seen him protected by his captain as wicketkeeper, and we've also seen him protected as captain as a batsman. You know, bad luck came to his aid. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah, it was horrifying. I think it's just to say one thing, Josh Butler kept terribly today as well. You know, so we do know that these are tough conditions for wicketkeeping.
Batting. Yeah, let's be honest as well. I mean, apart from Jason Holder, and this showed up the folly of bringing in Cornwall for Joseph on this track, because you know the problem Holder had was that he'd bowled Roach and Gabriel, who were supreme in that first hour, and then they were knackered, and he didn't have anything bar himself. If he'd had Joseph, you would have. You've got to think that maybe England score 310. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but they don't score 369, and it's game over.
So yeah, no, I think you're right. So if we go back to Dowrich for a minute, it's a bad test for keeping because Butler hasn't looked much better than he did. To be fair, Holder has gone up in the order, and as I said, he wasn't far away from batting six in this series. They really thought about it because they wanted Cornwall at eight, Holder at seven. I think it was Holder at the time who didn't want that to happen. You've then got the fact that he had to bat in the dark because it was quite dark, and the ball's nipping around. And you've got a 90-mile-an-hour quick in the opposition. You've also got Wokes, who's not far off 90 miles as well. Broad is a tall bowler. Everything is sort of stacked against Dowrich, but I think I have seen the batsmen get the yips before. I think, you know, if you think back to Jonathan Trott, there seems to be almost a Jonathan Trott style, a mental thing with this now, where Dowrich's head is just not where it needs to be. The technical flaw was already there. It's just been ripped open. And the problem for the West Indies is that Dowrich, over the last 2 years, has been almost their best batsman. And the average 40 over the last 2 years coming into this series. And if this is an open wound that he can't fix, that's a huge problem for them. Shai Hope, who hasn't made any runs, is going to have to wicketkeep and bat at six. Shai Hope can't really keep and hasn't been batting very well either. But that's where they are now. And it was horrendous to watch that one shot where his leg was going in one direction, his bat was going in another direction, his head was turning around. It went over the gully. It was terrible to watch.
It was, we've all remember that Robin Smith against the West Indies back in the day, the way, you know, he jerked his head back as the ball comes up towards it. He sticks his hand in the air. It was like Mark Butcher, a right-handed Mark Butcher at Sabina Park in 1998. It was all of that rolled into one and the ball didn't get up over waist height. And somehow he still managed to fence it over gully. Incredible moment for all the wrong reasons.
Shot of the day.
Well, my shot of the day was going to be Dowrich. but we can't talk about Dowrich again because we're going to speak about Dowrich a bit later. Shot of the day. I mean, to be honest, I'm struggling to think of many because I'm not going to put any of Stuart Broad's shots in there. And it's been a bowler dominating batsman kind of day.
Josh Butler played a pull shot early on that you just know, even though I didn't... wasn't that impressed with the way he batted when the pressure was on in this test. But you know from that one pull shot at that moment that he is going to get another test, even if he fails in the next innings. It was so brilliant. But also Jason Holder, towards the end of the day, it's dark. He's got no batsman left to bat with him. He plays just a beautiful straight drive. It's actually quite hard to play a straight drive, I think, in that position, just because your team's falling around you, the ball's swinging. You're on the back foot a little bit, I think. And then to be able to hit such a beautiful straight drive. Those are the two shots that stand out for me on the day.
Yeah, I remember Blackwood hit a really nice straight drive, but then he was out trying to hit a straight drive and it just negated the earlier effort.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ball of the day.
Thought Kamar Roach and Shannon Gabriel. Where have you guys been? You were missing for a session. You were kind of both missing for a bit of the second test. But, I mean, they were almost unplayable at times today.
Yeah, there was a ball that I think the best ball I saw was, I think Gabriel went past Joss Butler, went past the outside edge and he missed off stump. And I thought, people are going to go, oh, Butler struggling with the new ball again here, which, to be fair, you know, I'm more than happy to be the leader of that choir. What's the person who leads the choir? The guy with the flappy hands? The composer? No. What's the guy? The guy at the front of the choir. Where's my wife when I need him?
Conductor.
I may be the conductor of that choir. You can delete all the bit where I couldn't remember what a conductor was.
I will definitely do that, Jared. Don't worry.
Thank you. But that particular ball was just completely unplayable. I mean, Gabriel, for what, about 15 balls, bowled some of the best deliveries you will see in Test cricket. He should have had Butler LBW. He completely all over Ollie Pope. He had him dropped before he had him out. Just incredible, incredible bowling for a bit there. But that one to Butler where he missed the top of off stump, it was fast, it was angled in, it left the bat. Forget about it.
There were some beautiful deliveries from Anderson. The dismissal of Hope, classic outswinger from Anderson. We've seen that a million times. But, you know, pitches in line, the batsman has to play at it. You know the rest. And then Brooks comes in and he's obviously wary about the outswinger. So then Anderson delivers a delivery that seems in to the batsman and he takes the inside edge. But for me, the ball of the day, and I remember a tale. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember the batsman. It might have been Gary Kirsten. I can't quite remember. But you told me a story about a guy that was facing a bowling machine and basically couldn't hit the ball over 80 miles an hour. Basically, because batsmen need to get cues from the bowler, you know, whether it's going to be a short delivery, a fast, you know, an effort ball, obviously the way the ball's been handled, yada, yada. But Jofra Archer, the dismissal of Campbell... it was a back of a length delivery, which kind of spat up and he gloved it to Gully. And it was completely, you just don't know as a batsman what is coming when you're facing Archer. So for me, that was one of the balls of the, well, there's quite a few good balls of the day today. That was certainly one that stuck in mind.
Very quick story on that. It's interesting. It hasn't come up in this test yet, but they have been talking about that a lot. NASA talked about when you're facing Devon Malcolm, if he flicked his wrist back, you could see he was going to bowl a bouncer. And a lot of bowlers have the tells that they have are on their bouncers. And I'm pretty sure I'm right. I think it's Michael Holding used to start off a different foot when he bowled his bouncer. And it was Sunil Gavaskar who noticed this and passed it on to the Indian team, which doesn't help most batsmen because you have to be Sunil Gavaskar to really notice that in the first place and then to be able to continually notice it. But it is a thing. Jofra Archer, I know some of the Australian players passed on messages of, we can't tell at all what he's going to do. And Sky kept showing it in super slow motion. You know, it is so hard if there is not even the hint that he is changing his action to be able to face that kind of a bowler.
Lol of the day.
Are you going back to Derek? I mean, okay. Is that funny?
Yeah, well, there was a moment. It was the second ball of Archer's over late in the day. And Jason Holder steered it down to third man. And it had three written all over it. And instead they took two. And I was watching. And I thought to myself, surely he's not shielding Derek from Archer. And you know when you're just thinking something, and I thought, I might mention that on the podcast. And then Sir Andrew Strauss mentioned exactly the same thing on Sky. And I thought, blimey, you know, that's pretty bad. And then, of course, all the other stuff happened that we saw. And then you think, oh, that's why he's shielding Darwich from Archer. He's actually to do it.
For those who don't know, Jason Holder and Darwich are school friends. And, you know, they go back a long way, know each other really well. They're very, very close. I'll be honest, I'd be shocked tomorrow if Jason Holder doesn't try and pretend that he's batting at whatever end Darwich is supposed to be batting at times. Or just maybe just take guard up 3 metres in front of Darwich and trying to defend the ball before it gets to Darwich. I mean, it's got to those sort of farcical levels at this point, hasn't it? It's look, it is a shame. But we have talked about Darwich a lot. But it is a shame, but we have talked about him a lot.
Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
Let's hear what England's Stuart Broad had to say.
Our number one aim tomorrow has to be to try and bowl the West Indies out so we have an option of a follow-on, because that means we've bowled really well. I don't know what we'd do with a follow-on, but if we could get those 5 wickets quickly in the first hour and a half, then we'd still have 4 relatively fresh seamers and Bessie to come into the game. It'd be an interesting decision.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
I mean, I can't imagine this is an ideal situation for Rakeem Cornwall to come out and get his maiden Test 100. Darwich probably isn't going to last much longer. I would assume that they will knock them off quite easily. And being the way that modern teams play, and the fact that it's third straight Test, even if it isn't the third straight Test for any of the bowlers, Don Best is maybe the only bowler who's bowled in all three. But with Pakistan coming up, I would assume that England would go out and make a quick 200 runs, 150 runs, and get this over with. Give themselves a few days off if they can in that way. That, there's no way that West Indies will be able to chase over 400 runs. I'm not sure they'll be able to chase over 200 the way that they're currently looking. And with this bowling attack, I mean, it's probably worth saying that this is about as strong a bowling attack as England can master. I mean, they're, you know, in home conditions, you know, you probably bring Moeen in or Jack Leach in to strengthen the spin bowling a little bit. But you've got 4 international quality bowlers, you know, 2 all-time England greats, Jofra Archer, who knows where he can go. Chris Wokes is one of the best bowlers in England conditions. It's an incredible bowling attack, really. It has weakened the batting, obviously, as we saw. Luckily for them, Broad stood up. But there's no way that West Indies should be able to handle this. I can't see them going to enforce the follow-on. But in a normal situation with a month's break, I think they would have.
Yeah, there was a discussion, and I was quite surprised to hear Ian Ward at NASA, and I think possibly also Atherton, saying that they would expect, or indeed they would do, they would enforce a follow-on. So much time left in the game. I know that there's some bad weather forecasts, but there was today. It's the only way West Indies can ever get ahead in this game. I'm with you. Even if they don't enforce a follow-on, they fall 10-20 short, I think England go into bat again. And, 3 full days. If you think about it, 3 full days of cricket to go. There's plenty of time. So I can see early wickets. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if West Indies do go past the follow-on target. They're only 33 runs away.
They're not that far. Yeah, that's 3 sixes for Cornwall. Jason Holder, you know, does the other end. Kemar Roach can bat, don't forget, as well. Like, he can hang around if Cornwall or Holder, or even if Darwich can get past.
Well, Darwich isn't going to try and block it out, is he? So it's going to be, it's just going to be hell for leather. Darwich will just blaze away. Once he goes, Holder will do the same. I see West Indies game past a follow on target, and then a little bit of a boring day's play. Maybe a bit of rain involved. And
did you play many computer cricket games?
No,
because that third innings of what if England do go out and bat, that is the innings that when you're playing computer games you always generate. You never play out that innings. It's absolutely pointless to go play out that innings. But unfortunately, in real life, there is no generate button.
No, and this is the thing, when people talk about what is the worst thing in cricket. And those who don't know anything about cricket always say, how can you play for 5 days and then still draw? I look at them and you know, I've heard that said so many times. That's so far away from what is the worst thing in cricket. The worst thing in cricket is irrelevant runs, and I fear we're going to see a lot of irrelevant runs in the next 24 hours. But hey, I have been wrong before. Maybe I'll be wrong again. Jared, that's gone.
Oh, I was going to say, is the third innings the most irrelevant innings? For another time, John, for another time.
We can discuss at length if it rains all day on day three. That would be the podcast. Jared, thanks for your time. Myself and Jared will be back after day three, whether it's a day full of irrelevant runs or a day full of rain. But for now, that's it. Thanks for listening to the Following On podcast on either Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.